Please be seated. Today is affectionately known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we remember Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. They need someone who's going to lead them to grazing places, to fresh water. They need a shepherd to protect them from danger and to drive away predators. And over time, shepherd and sheep develop a relationship. The sheep come to learn the shepherd's voice. They respond to the shepherd's call. Shepherds are also an image we find in Scripture. They're examples of faithful shepherds who lead God's people. Probably the most foremost of them is King David, who was a shepherd before he was called to be king, to be shepherd of the people. Scripture also talks about shepherds who are not so good in being shepherds. The prophet Ezekiel, in fact, judges the unfaithful shepherds of the people, declaring that God is done with those shepherds, and God will instead lead God's people. Jesus is, of course, our primary shepherd, the good shepherd who is always faithful, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. We hear this in our gospel today. From John's gospel, it takes place in the temple on the Feast of Dedication. You might know that feast by its other name, Hanukkah. It is a commemoration of the rededication of the temple in 164 BCE after it was desecrated by King Antiochus IV. So people are gathered there for this festival, and in the reading, the people want answers from Jesus. They want to know, are you the Messiah? And they want him to answer plainly. Jesus replies, he's told them. But they do not believe because he is not their sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. In a blog post about this passage from several years ago, Debbie Thomas writes, and I quote, sheep know their shepherd because they are his. They walk, graze, feed, and sleep in his shadow, beneath his rod and staff, within constant earshot of his voice. They believe because they have surrendered to his care, his authority, his leadership, and his guidance. There is no belonging from outside. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Belong, Jesus says. Consent to belong. Belief will follow. Unquote. Jesus is all about that invitation to belong. Jesus, our shepherd, calls us to belong, to be in relationship with him. And being in relationship then to understand his call, to hear his voice, to allow him to gather his flock. It's through relationship with him that we can hear him, and then we can follow where he leads. As the faithful shepherd of God's people, Jesus promises to always lead us, to bring us to virgin pasture, to abundant living, to lead us away from the death and the decay of this world. And Jesus promises that we are always safe in his hands. No one will snatch us away from him. And through Jesus is the gift of eternal life with God. Jesus in our gospel says that he and the Father are one. They are united in their words and in their deeds. Jesus says what the Father says. Jesus does what the Father does. It is through Jesus we know the Father. In Jesus, the Father is revealed to us. And just as Jesus and the Father are one, so the followers of Jesus are one with him. His followers dwell with him. They speak his words. They do his deeds. We see this reality throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which we're reading as our first reading during Eastertide. And we see it in today's lesson. Peter has been transformed. He's been transformed from that person who three times denied knowing Jesus after the Last Supper. He's transformed from what we heard in last Sunday's gospel, where three times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter says, "Of course I love you. You know I love you." In those questions and in those answers, Jesus is reconciling Peter to him after his denial. And after answering those questions, Peter is transformed into the one who is faithful, who faithfully follows, who faithfully speaks the words of Jesus, who does the works of Jesus. In today's lesson, we hear about a woman named Tabitha, or in Greek, Dorcas, who has died. She was a widow. She sewed tunics, she sewed clothing, and she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. And Dorcas is called in Acts a disciple, the only woman in the New Testament for whom that Greek word disciple is used. She is faithful. And at her death, the other widows come together to mourn her. She's beloved of them. She's a leader of their community. And she is known for having supported and cared for others, especially those in need. After her death, the widows send for Peter, and Peter comes into the room. He kneels, he prays, and he raises Dorcas from the dead. The Spirit of God who raises Jesus to resurrection life is with Peter. Peter is doing the work of Jesus in the world. Peter has power to heal because of his close communion with the risen Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And Peter is a witness to Jesus through his miracle and through the other acts undertaken by those first followers of Jesus. Many come to believe in the risen Christ. Through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, Peter and those first followers of Jesus are transformed into people who do the work of Jesus in the world. The Spirit of God is with them and active and alive and is working in and through them, bringing hope and new life to the world. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is active in the world through those followers of Jesus, bringing hope from despair, new life from death. After the resurrection of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, the followers of Jesus are transformed, and through them, through their witness, the world is transformed. And this is all possible because they are in relationship with Jesus. They know his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. They hear his call and they follow where he leads. As sheep of the Good Shepherd, they do his work and they are his presence in the world. And Jesus is the faithful shepherd, the one who even lays down his life for the sheep. And with his wounded hands bearing the marks of his passion, he gathers the sheep. He keeps them safe for eternity. Through baptism, the promise is we share in the death and also the resurrection of Jesus. In baptism, we die to sin and death in this life, that we share his promise of eternal life. The promise that Jesus will lead us to even the banquet of heaven, to eternal life with God. Now, of course, this does not mean everything is perfect in this life. Doesn't mean we won't have challenges, we won't suffer, no grief. We will. But the Good Shepherd promises always to be faithful, to be with us, leading us, comforting us, keeping us safe for eternity. We hear this in the psalm we chanted this morning, Psalm 23, where we sang, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Notice it doesn't say we can go around that valley by another way. We still have to go through that valley. We all do. We all will go through the shadow of death. But we don't do that alone. The Good Shepherd is with us, leading us through that valley, present with us, supporting us with his staff, comforting us in our grief, keeping us safe. And just as Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does for us, so we are called to do for others. We are to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow, to go where he leads us, to be people who, like him, are people who bring healing, who are a comforting presence to others. Like Peter, through the power of the risen Jesus, we are called to comfort those who mourn, to bring the promise of God, of God's love and God's strength to those who are sorrowing. And like the faithful disciple Dorcas, we're called to care for those in need, to share freely from what we have been given. Ultimately, Jesus the Good Shepherd calls us into a relationship of abiding, of dwelling with him, of becoming one with him as he and the Father are one. And it is through relationship with Jesus that we respond to his invitation to follow. And abiding in Jesus is possible because of a life of daily prayer, of encountering God revealed in word, in scripture, in sacrament, being faithful in worship with the community of God's people, and by practicing loving service to those in need. The way of love to which Jesus calls us is none other than the path to eternal life, to fullness of life with God and with all the saints forever. In today's epistle from the Revelation to John, there is an image which I find one of the most beautiful in Scripture. It is an image of eternity with God. A great multitude from all peoples, languages, nations, and tribes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they stand before the throne and before the Lamb, worshiping day and night. And in that place, they no longer hunger or thirst. The shepherd leads them to the springs of the water of life. And then that very tender and beautiful image of God drying the tears from their eyes, God comforting them, and they no longer have to sorrow. Jesus the Good Shepherd calls us each by name. He beckons us to hear his voice and follow him, with his wounded hands bearing the marks of his passion. He gathers God's people, protecting, keeping all safe for eternity. May we hear his voice. May we know him who calls us and follow where he leads. Walking the path that he has walked, may we lovingly serve all people in his name. And may Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lead us to that banquet in eternity that he prepares for us. Lead us even to life eternal, worshiping at the throne of the Lamb forever. Amen.